The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, welcome back to the Monarchist Basketball Show. I am Mike, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Aaron. And we have the special opportunity to talk with Coach Mike Jones again. How are we doing today, Coach?
Doing okay, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Well,
so let's talk about this road trip. You guys went down to Myrtle Beach, and you exacted a little bit of revenge on the Chanticleers. What do you think was the biggest key to this game?
The start clearly was better than it had been the last few games. And, you know, we were really locked in, especially on the defensive end. I don't think we were great in the beginning offensively, but because we were getting stops on the defensive end, it allowed us to start out. They were stuck on 3 points for a while there. I think it was close to the under 12 media. And they were still just at 3 points. And, again, I think our defense had a lot to do with that. But we came out with a little bit more of an edge than we had been coming out with. So,
all right, Mike. So we talked a little bit about this road trip was going to be an important one. We're halfway kind of through that. Yep. What does the coaching staff emphasize most heading into a stretch like this where – you know, you've got four in a row before you come back home. Is it like execution, toughness, composure? Kind of what are y'all thinking?
It's a little bit of all of that because of the impact it can have on our record within the league. And like, obviously, again, you guys have heard me say it, and I know you all say it, like it's all about the seeding. And each one of these games affects that. The first one and the 18th, they all matter just the same. But in a stretch like this, you can really make some hay in terms of movement. And as the league play really solidifies itself and pockets of, you know, a group of teams here, a group of teams here, a group of teams here. And you want to make sure you're in the right position. So, you know, playing four on the road, not at home, you know, you're, you know, quote unquote, at a disadvantage on the road. But you can really make some headway and make some hay there.
All right, so this last week we saw Robert Davis Jr. kind of get off the snide. He had been struggling this season offensively, and he goes off against Coastal Carolina, dropping 29 points. I guess talk to us about Robert and his progress throughout this year.
Yeah, so again, I think I've mentioned this before as well. Like, you know, Rob is not 100%. You know, his injury has lingered a little bit, and, you know, he's been toughing it out. And, again, I understand when – anyone watches basketball and you see someone that he's either making shots, he's really good. He's missing shots, he's no good. And I hope people can understand Rob's impact on us is far beyond just whether he made his last shot or not. Obviously, his ability creates a lot of gravity on the floor, but Rob's IQ is truly something that truly helps us when he's on the court because he's able to communicate and able to move guys around almost as if he was a point guard. So, but we did see Rob kind of bouncing around a little bit more than he had been this season. And he is, as each week goes by, he is feeling a little bit better. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think anybody could deny that watching either game, the Coastal game or the JMU game before he got elbowed in the face. So, you know, he's definitely feeling better. He's closer to, you know, what 100% will be, but he's still not there. And he's working his rear end off every single day to get as close as he can to 100% so he can help us win.
So a couple hours before that Coastal game, I was going to post something on Instagram for the account and saw that Chris Kavinsky, one of our former coaches, was on a live, and I popped in there. And he saw us and he saw that y'all were going to be at Coastal. And one of the comments that he made was, tough environment because you've got to make your own energy there. How do you guys do that at, you know, I want to be polite, but the energy and the atmosphere and the facilities at Coastal for basketball is not the same as what we have at home. How do you manufacture that?
So that's a great point, Aaron. And Crisco, that's a great point for him to make as well. I think there's two points that you just made without meaning to. One of them is the point of, you know, the energy we need to kind of create for ourselves to get going. But the other point being, we talk about how other teams play when they play in Chartway. Well, just think about that. If all of your home games are kind of docile in terms of the environment, it's not really hype, but then you come in Chartway and you see the support we get. I mean, that's an advantage for us by no means. Am I not acknowledging that? But that also gets the juices flowing in our opponents as well, because they're not normally playing in that. And that is something that, you know, gets them excited as well. But for us, and again, I'm going to contradict what I just said by saying this. Like, at this point, we literally, and I can't be more emphatic about it, like, we're just trying to figure out a way to win a game. We tell ourselves we don't care if it's five people in there rooting for us and 1,000 people rooting again. At this point, it does not matter. We need to just find a way to win the game. So come together, play for one another, do everything we can to be on the same page, and let's go out there and fight together. And we did that. We did that Thursday. We did that again on Saturday. We let one slip away.
All right. So we talked about the schedule last episode and how kind of funky it is, but you get to play these teams very quickly after playing them a first time. How different is that second game after you guys have already kind of, especially with them being this close to each other?
Yeah.
You already have a look at that team and they have a look at you.
Yeah. So a couple things happen there. One is, going into the first time you play them, you watch what other teams do that work, what other teams do that don't work, what they do that works, what they do that doesn't work. So you have that component. The second time around, you get to see what you did. And, you know, so, you know, having footage of our team playing against Coastal and then a footage of nine other teams playing Coastal, the most valuable footage is our team playing against Coastal. That goes both ways, though. Like, they now have footage against us and what we do well, what we don't do well, what they were able to do that was effective. And I think the second time around, you are afforded that. Okay, so we did this action the first game, and they really struggled with it. We probably ran that action because we saw other teams running a similar action that we saw them struggle with. We know that the coaching in this league is really, really, really strong, and there are going to be some adjustments made. So can you accurately predict the adjustments that are going to be made? And then you plan off of that. And that's what we do, you know, as we prepare for this coming week. You know, you play two teams that we just played, you know, a few days ago as well. And, you know, what do we do well? What didn't we do well? What did they do well? What did they not do well? And what expected adjustments can we look forward to?
All right. So the JMU game, obviously heading to Harrisonburg, that's always a big game, whether it's in Norfolk or it's up there close to Bucky's. The first half, obviously strong start, up 17 at the half. Talk to us a little bit about that first half. What was going well? What was working?
So the ball movement was beautiful. You know, we got out in transition as much as we possibly could. We obviously made some shots, but just the connectedness of our team, the flow, everything seemed to work well because we did. We were all on the same page, all on the same accord, and the energy was contagious. Like, guys were just really just all over the place in terms of rooting for one another, you know, willing to make the extra pass, having each other's back, communicating. Again, we talk about the defense at the start of the Coastal game. Well, you know, we held JMU to 9 points for a very long time in the first half there because our defense was so strong. So we were a connected bunch.
Now, you guys did really well managing not turning the ball over in this game. Obviously, I think this game was won in the paint by JMU. They dominated us on the boards and scoring in the paint. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, if Cal is going to be out, how can we have more success in the paint without his size and presence?
it's easier said than done. You know, obviously Ben and Donovan both, they have to step up for us. They have to. Jared and Drew and Scotty, they have to step up for us. This is, you know, times like Saturday are days where I hope one of two things happen or both. One, you know, all of us, our players as well, really appreciate Kyle and understand the impact that he has on our team. I hope our fans appreciate that as well. You know, him not being out there truly, and especially in the second half and especially everything at that rim, you know, his presence was greatly missed. But then also not having Steph. That was a game that was tailor-made for Stephon Walker. Again, his toughness, his ability to fight, you know, whether it be 33 or 21 or 25 or zero for JMU, like any of those guys. You know, Steph Walker's going toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with each and every one of them and not backing down. So not having either of them, you know, what do you do going forward? You just do everything you can to make sure that Ben and Donovan both are ready for the moment to step up. I mean, you know, Donovan gets told he's going to start and then got two fouls and, you know, we call it 30 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever it was, then has to come out and, you know, we don't know how the game's going to go. So it's like you really can't afford to really put him back in. So then you're either playing Ben or you're playing smaller with both of those big guys. So it was not necessarily a great recipe that we were dealt there. But, you know, this is college basketball. You got to find a way. And we did for the majority of the game and let it slip away.
So we talked a little bit before. I know kind of there were a number probably of turning points in the game. Rob's play, he started where he left off in the Coastal game. Mm-hmm. Rob was on fire. Like he just was doing whatever he wanted to do. And then he took that elbow in the face. I know we've got a number of questions, you know, how's he doing? Is he okay? But clearly that affected him in the rest of the game. He looks like he took a pretty good shot. Is he all right?
He's okay. Rob is a tough kid. You know, I think, you know, in the season and a half he's been here in Norfolk, like he's proven that he will play through anything that he's cleared to play through. So, you know, he, you know, played through a whole lot last year and has been playing through a lot this year. So, you know, we truly can appreciate the warrior mentality that he has to always, you know, want to be on the floor if he's physically capable.
Last episode, we talked about ball watching and how it can lead to not crashing the boards.
Mm-hmm.
In the Coastal game, we saw better ball movement and we saw guys hustling and crashing the boards. And it's, I think it's a big part of why we were able to hold off Coastal in their comeback mm-hmm. efforts. Talk to us about how the guys reacted to seeing those benefits inside of meetings in the last week.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that we've seen from our guys is literally the difference. Like you could show them 2-minute clip package here of this is what it looks like when we stand and watch. This is what it looks like when we don't have any movement. This is what it looks like when we have great movement and ball movement and body movement and no one's standing and watching and we're crashing. And this is the difference. And just to be able to show them the increasing levels of success we have with the second clip package and the diminishing clips we have of the first package. And if we can just keep that needle moving towards the second one and not the first one. And again, you know, our guys saw a lot of that yesterday in film and it definitely resonates. You know, if you watched us practice yesterday, watch us practice, especially today, there's plenty of plays where that ball was kind of whizzing around and we have to continue to encourage that.
In the last episode, one of the words that came out as our discussion was discipline mm-hmm. and guys needing to understand whatever the task was, wherever they needed to be, being engaged, attention to detail, and discipline. After the Georgia Southern loss at home in the post-game presser, a couple questions came up. Mm-hmm. And Rob and KC were the players there. Mm-hmm. And the word discipline came out of their mouths multiple times, and we asked them about that. It seems like that may have translated a little bit. They both, and Rob in particular, obviously Rob is very well spoken. He's a very intelligent individual, and he kind of took a leadership role there in talking about, we as players need to be accountable. We need to be more disciplined. The coaches are putting us in the position of what to do. The game plan's there. It seems like that did translate to three and a half quarters following that. That's got to be encouraging.
It is. In order to do what we want to do this season, though, it's got to translate 100% of the time. And that is the frustrating part. So it is what it is at this point. Like, we've got to have it 100% of the time. We've got to have it for all four halves that we just played. We've got to have for all four halves that we're going to play this week. We cannot have the lulls. We cannot have the, oh, we're going to do it right 8 straight times, and then the 9th and the 10th time just kind of fluke it off. Like, we can't do that. Like, if you look at the Sun Belt Conference games we've had so far, like, even though some of the margins have been a little off, and obviously the couple of games were the bad starts, but they've all been single-digit games. If you go on KenPom and you look at the rest of our Sun Belt schedule, there's not one game on there that is going to be decided by, at least what they predict, that's going to be decided by more than 3 possessions, most of them 1 and 2 possessions. And they are decently accurate at their predictive measures. So that screams to me the discipline that we're talking about. That screams to me that all of the teams in the Sun Belt, but I'm worried about us, that the Monarchs, we have to play every single possession like it means something, because every single possession does mean something. And that is going to be like that. That's going to be our season. That is going to be our season. If we can do that, we can beat anybody. We can beat anybody. If we don't do it, you're leaving too much to chance, and like I'm not trying to do that.
All right, so this is gonna be a little different, but a fan, listener, a friend of the podcast reached out and told me how they had seen Mark Klein at practice and at games, and we know that he was an assistant coach when you were a player. He had a long career coaching college basketball. Talk to us about what it's like to have Mark's support and have his as someone you could lean on, I guess.
So basically, since I started coaching, you know, Coach Klein had always, you know, whether he was recruiting one of my players at DeMatha, or even when I left high school and came to the college side, he's always somebody who, you know, we'd see each other on the road. He'd reach out occasionally, you know, whether it be a holiday or just to check in and say hello. You know, he was one of my favorite coaches. We only worked together for a year. He only coached me for a year, but that year was so impactful to me. So I appreciate it. His wife still works at ODU. So he is around. I believe he's only come to that weekend that he was here. He came to our practice on Friday and then attended the game on Saturday when we played Georgia Southern. And just like it does mean a lot to me, because it is somebody who helped me be the player that I was, and then also somebody that, since I've been coaching, has also impacted my coaching as well.
All right. Take a step back. I'm not going to put you in a position to say anything about officials, but I'm going to say the end of game was kind of questionable. We'll leave it there. But end of game, you have multiple plays to get the ball in a position to have a really good chance of scoring. Can you talk a little bit about the initial play to make the pass to get across half court, have the wherewithal to call a timeout, and then to call the last play that puts you in a good position to actually win the game?
So having 2 timeouts really helped. Yeah, I have spent a lot of my career, like, you know, probably hoarding timeouts. You know, I like to, especially in close games, to be able to manipulate as much as I possibly can, especially with such a new team. So having those two timeouts really helped. Them deflecting the ball on the first initial attempt to get it to half court probably helped us because it gave a much better angle to throw the ball where we needed to throw it. And they didn't necessarily play it the way they should have. Like, they should have taken that near sideline pass away and forced us to throw it to the other sideline, but they didn't. So we were able to get it there. And again, our players knew exactly what we wanted to do. They knew we wanted to get it just over half. Like, these are, I will credit our guys. Like, we go through situations all the time, and we've been in that situation in practice before. So they knew what we wanted to. Drew is probably the best passer on our team, especially in that circumstance. So we were able to manipulate things to get him to be the inbounder and to get somebody cutting to just over half court so that we can get the ball where we got it. And then we knew they were going to be switching everything with the last play. So we had to run something. And we also knew that they would try to take away Jordan and try to take away Rob. The biggest question we had going into the huddle was, and I guess it's okay. So the play that I think everybody knows we want to run. Well, we haven't run that yet this year. And the question going into the huddle was, do you think James Madison, is prepared to guard that play? And can they get prepared to guard that play in this huddle? So immediately the thought was, well, they're going to be switching, so it's going to be tougher to be successful running that play. So the counter to that play is what we went with. And because they were switching and because they were going to deny Jordan and deny Rob, we decided to go with the version of the play we did. And we got the ball right where we wanted to. We got the shot we wanted. Drew threw a tremendous pass. Jordan made a great catch, gathered himself, and went up. And, you know, what happened, happened. I can't get fined, I don't think, but I'll leave it there.
That's good. And we've talked multiple times this year, and I know Mike and I have talked a lot, is we've seen Drew make so many nice passes. I mean, that first one on the sideline, well, really, I guess it's the second one, but I don't know. Even watching on TV, it was impressive with the accuracy, the pace, the angle of how he threw it. Yep. It's nice to have a guy that can do that and do it, like, repeatedly.
Yeah, he's a big, strong dude, and, you know, in those circumstances, he did exactly what we asked him to do. And at the end of the game, in a situation like that, you want five guys that are going to do exactly what you want them to do. And, you know, you win and lose off of that, like, not off of something else, not off of, well, coach, I did this because I thought, like, just do what we ask you to do. Do what we ask you to do so that your four teammates know what you're doing. And, you know, I'll take our chances with that every time. Should have never been in that situation, though. I know everybody thinks that already, but I'm right there. We should never have been in that situation.
All right, so we got to finish this road trip up. First is a trip to Georgia Southern. This was a high-scoring game last time we faced off with them. But I wonder, with a team like Georgia Southern that can score the way they do, knowing we can score the way we can, do you maybe think about slowing the game down a little bit?
Great question, Mike. So let's be clear. They didn't score 93 points because we couldn't guard them. They definitely jumped out on us. It was 20-2 or whatever it was. And then definitely scored a lot of points at the end of the game, but that was because of the way we were pressing and things like that. The middle third or the middle 50%, whatever it was, we were much better. I think we got spooked a little bit when we went to our zone, and something that we prepared for, we didn't cover it right. And that kind of scared me. It's just like, well, if we can't give up another three from over there. So we played a little bit less zone than maybe we would have liked to do. Again, at this point, man, we got to win. We have to win. And You know, we're going to pull out all the stops, you know, whether that be us slowing it down. Like, they're a really good team. I mean, they're first or second in our league for a reason. They're a really good team. They don't do great in transition defense if you go to the hole strong. So we don't necessarily want to slow down offensively. You definitely want to slow them down when you're on defense. But and then with the way they cover ball screens and they blow up handoffs and just their physicality on the defensive end, if you can just get them before they really get set, you've got a better chance of scoring. If you go off of the first game, we scored 1.2 points per possession in transition. We scored 0.8 something points against a half court set defense. And that's before, you know, all the up and down that we got into at the end. So, you know, analytics say, coach, you need to run more. You need to push it more. You need to throw it ahead more. If we can clean up and get to 1 point per possession in our half court offense, we got a real chance to do something to get a win here and get some of this momentum back.
And then you can continue on down to Boone, the App State, a couple big, strong guys there. We're talking about the challenges that we just had in Harrisonburg. We got some of the same considerations there. Talk to the fans a little bit about playing at App.
So I've only been there once. And last year when we went, I think their students are back this week. So they will have a very lively student section, I'm sure. But we went against that last year, and their student section was unbelievable. It reminded me of some of the rivalry games that I've been a part of in my career. And it was great to see from their standpoint. And again, it was that mentality that we went in there with. It's just us. You know, maybe there's a dozen family members behind our bench that are rooting for us, but this is all about us. We got to stick together. And we went down there, and if I remember correctly, we went down like 12 points in the first half, but then we cut it to like 5 or 7 at halftime. And then we came out of the second half and we went after them. We're going to need that kind of effort this time. Again, the last time we played them, we got into a hole, had to fight out of it. We showed that we were capable of doing that. We just got to be able to get to it right from the jump ball and not put ourselves in that deficit. And again, App's a really good team. They're not easy to beat, home or on the road. We get an opportunity this week. You take care of business on Thursday in Statesboro, and then we look forward to the opportunity we have on Saturday.
All right, Coach, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. I'll leave it to you to give your outgoing message to Monarch Nation.
I appreciate it, fellas. Again, this, you know, we got off to this road trip, you know, on a good start. We had it rolling there against the Dukes, and we let one slip away. A lot to learn from that, but I do think we're trending. Just, again, our guys knowing that Monarch Nation has our back, which we do. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting. And this is another huge week for us. You know, sitting at 2-4 in the league, you know, you're 2 games out of second place and you're 3 games out of first place. Like, we're very, very, very much in the thick of things here. We got 12 league games to go. You know, we have an opportunity here. So we're going to keep fighting. And whatever blows are thrown at us, you know, somebody's missing, somebody's hurt, somebody whatever, we're going to keep fighting this thing all the way to the end so we can go down to Pensacola and do something that we all know we're capable of doing. And go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.